Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good to be back, chaps.
Yes.
I'll tell you who else is back. Our good friends at Manscaped.
Heroes, they are.
Bloody heroes. The leaders in men's grooming are supporting us once again. And they're back with the 4.0. It sounds good, doesn't it?
It sounds incredible.
It sounds as though you could cut the lawn with it. Yeah. Never mind your fucking balls.
Sort your package out with the Manscaped 4.0 performance package. Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
No, I don't wear a careful, Chris. That's what Manscaped does.
Yes, you can join the 2 million other men. That's 4 million pristine testicles, that. 2 million.
Well
men.
Worked out.
Yeah.
Well,
is yours pristine?
Oh, well, no, because I lost it, didn't I?
No, you did.
I lost it. I left it in one of hotels when we were doing a podcast. So,
oh, yeah.
Colin the caretaker, Premier in Pafelli.
He's looking magnificent.
Has gone home.
Julie? He don't realise how lucky a day he had, does he?
No. Caught for this, Julie.
You know,
Jesus.
He could have found somebody's wallet with 300 quid in, but it's from your Manscaped.
He found my Manscaped.
Loads of hairs.
He found my Manscaped. But you can join the over 2 million and the 4 million testicles by going to www.manscaped.com, getting on the performance package and putting in the code COSH20. Do you know what the performance package comes with? There it is in the little bag.
I'll show you now, Chrissy.
It comes with the Lawnmower 4.0. Yes, to give that clinical cut around the testicles. No nips, no cuts.
Here she is.
You can just go wild on the nuggets with that.
Oh, I'm glad you've...
There's a bit of debris on the...
I'm glad you've left them hairs on there for us, Matthew. Very much appreciated.
An easy ride from the gooch to the shaft.
It is a comfortable
whips
shirt.
It all off. No... Who's been using that?
Look at the state of that, yeah.
Not only.
Comes in handy, by the way.
You get the weed whacker, today. Which is for the nose, and the lug holes.
And it does
fantastic
work on my nose.
For the ears, for the nose.
It works on mine, so...
It'll work on anything.
Tried and tested.
And then once you've done that, the...
deodorant. It does come in handy.
Yes, the crop preserver... Ball deodorant,
and
the crop reviver, ball toner. So, get out them creases. Nobody likes a rinky sack.
You know, like when you go to the when you go to the barbers and you ask for number one or number two.
Yeah,
you can do it on here.
What's your preference, John?
Oh, I'm down to the wood. I'm the big dog.
Down the ball.
I'm down to the wood.
Literally.
So if you down to the one wood. So if you want it a little bit longer or a little bit shorter, it's available.
Ooh. And two free gifts come with it as well. That's your boxer shorts and your little bag, which
it's
is nice,
bag.
Isn't it?
I've upgraded that to my number one wash bag.
Yeah. But
good stuff, though.
Get the 20% off with the code COSH20. All you got to do, go to www.manscaped.com, put in the code COSH20, you get 20% off. Waterproof as well, by the way. So,
do you do it shower?
Or if you're out on a night out, you've got your wash bag with you, you get lucky, back alley, raining, don't worry about it. Tie it up.
Just wait there a minute, sweetheart. What the fuck's he doing here?
Polishing them up afterwards with your ball preservers. Happy days.
It'll be the best alleyway sex she's ever had.
But yes, get your 20% off when you go to www.manscaped.com and put in the code COSH20. How are we doing, Jeremy, we all right? Episode 2?
Very well. You?
Yes, I'm good.
You all right, lads? Nice T-shirt, Chris.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Captain, one of my mum's specials, these for Christmas. They don't know what to get. Oh, he likes Captain Morgan.
He likes, I thought it was a freebie.
Proper rum. I'll get him a Captain Morgan T-shirt.
I thought it came with a bottle of it.
No.
So nice. Yeah, I'll tell you why I'm tired, because I've been golfing today all day, right? And then I'm just sat on the toilet this morning, just before the round starts, and I get a message saying, can we record an intro for today's podcast?
Yeah. We were meant to be do it last week, but we got kicked out of a venue, didn't we? So
yeah.
Here we are, last minute again.
So we've had all weekend to do it, but
I know. Well, I didn't realise you were playing golf today.
So, but Baldy decides to tell us the morning of a golf day, we've got some work to do tonight. So,
do you have a good round? Good day of golf? We're off at Walking's Brilliant, weren't we? Off the charity and everything.
It certainly was, mate. Yeah, good round, actually.
I wasn't the best. I started like a house on fire, then tired very quickly.
Hey, did I ever tell you about Sean St. Ledger with the golf?
No.
I think you know if you were there, go.
It's starting to ring a bell.
So we're having like a Preston golf day, right? Sean St. Ledger never played golf in his life. So we're playing a decent course from at Lytham Way, right? Yeah. I think Fairhaven, I think it was called. It was Cal's course. Now, with that posh, we had a starter, right, who starts you off on the first tee. So Ledge pulls up in his R8, whoo, like an aeroplane, right? So he's not got any gear, Ledge. So what
no
he does is...
Just, nothing?
No clubs, no clothing, nothing. No, nothing to do with golf, right? We don't want to miss out on this day. So goes into the club shop, spends well over £1,000 on golf equipment, shoes,
get
trousers,
all the gear.
All the gear. Honestly, he's got the top of the range because that's what Ledge were like, right? So we teed off, the starter started us off. Went up, played the first hole. The second hole, you come back like, towards the first tee. No Sean St. Ledger. I'm like, where's Ledger? He was supposed to be in your group behind, weren't he? Said, oh, you never guess what's happened. He stood on the first tee. Obviously, the starter's on the tee, Sean St. Ledger. He's made three of the biggest divots the starter has ever seen. Says to him, I'm really sorry, Sean, but you're not allowed on the course.
He just spent a grand in club shop.
Spent a grand in club shop, put his clubs in the R8 and fucked off. I imagine them clubs have never been seen since.
Yeah.
Honestly. I was like, oh, Mark, I couldn't believe it. Any other course where you don't have a starter, obviously, he'd have got away with it. But, yeah, so, as I said, spent, well, over a grand and then never actually hit a golf ball.
It would have been a surprise for him that you had to have golf clubs or something. He'll have been expecting them to be handed to him as he walked up, pulled it.
Yeah, here, Sean, there's a set of ping irons here for you, Sean. We'll put your shoes on, we'll tie your shoes for you, no problem, Mr. St. Ledger.
What a fella, man.
Biggest surprise is you telling us a story we've not heard before.
Have I not told that one before?
No, can't believe you've never heard that.
Oh, right. I just thought I'd throw it in from the golfing theme today.
What a boy.
Hey, anybody who's got tickets for the Sunderland show, we put it out on Twitter today and everybody should have an email, but we've had to change venues. The stage has collapsed, apparently. It's caved in at the previous venue.
Well, to be fair, the fact that the stage has collapsed, it's saved Brownie's ass collapsing on the stage, hasn't it?
To be fair, it's probably better that it's happened now.
I know.
Unless Rick Waller's doing a turn, I don't think there'd be a bigger unit than you turning out between now and then.
Oh, put a stone and a half on your send this last 6 weeks.
It's been moved to the Roca Hotel, which is a very good spot.
Is it? A lot of people have said it's good, it's better.
Yeah, it's a good spot right in the seafront. So if you... Oh. I'm not sure what that's got to do with anything, like.
Yeah. Have we got a sea view from the stage, or...? But it doesn't really matter what's outside the hotel, does it? We're not going to see it.
Yeah, well, it's picturesque.
Oh, lovely.
I think it's 8 minutes away from the previous venue, so it shouldn't be putting anybody out too much.
No. Alex, well, we can't doubt about it, can we? If there's no stage, no show.
Nah.
Exactly.
But I'm looking forward to Alex Reyes, funny lad.
Nicky Hunt this week, two-parter.
Yes, one of
two-parter.
One of my favourites, I think. I really enjoyed it.
The Jackie story, my God.
Yeah, that's in my top five stories, I think.
Yeah, well, it's a two-parter. We've been bolting heavy these first.
We haven't. Are you fixing this, Chris?
No, do with me. Often we'll be mixing it up in the next few weeks. Well, we've got Darren Huckabee coming up, haven't we? Stuart Downing.
Yes.
But the tickets are on sale for the rest of the live shows, aren't they? They're all available if you want to go onto the website. I think the link's at the top of the Twitter, and there's tickets still available for some of the shows if you want to come on down.
It'll soon be here, by the way. My anxiety's kicking in already.
Yeah. Into the doctors. Any chance I can get some calms tablets, please, doctor?
Fuck's sake.
You're gonna be like, you know, for this tour, the duration of this tour, you're gonna be like Rabsy and Nesbitt, you.
Just sweating,
blind shitting for 6 weeks. Blind shitting drunk for 6 weeks.
I'm only turning up for the after show music.
At least in Sunderland, you can go and get an ice cream, can't you, and sit on beach.
Oh, yeah.
The stars will be out. We'll see the stars.
You might as well order us 4 deck chairs for after there. We'll sit and have a fish and chip supper on Sunderland seafront.
Right, shall we get Nicky in?
Yeah, we'll get him in. Plus, I need a shower. I'm tired.
Nicky Hunt, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure for me. I've been wanting to do this for quite a long time. Chaps, quite a long time. You've been wanting to do this.
Come on with us, fucking idiot.
Yeah, come on with you, fucking idiot. Fucking correct. This is like the ultimate for me. For me personally, this is the ultimate.
So have you watched a few?
Yeah, I watched a few. Yeah, Stephen Bywater, I watched him.
It's not been out yet.
Oh, is it?
You will, though, when it comes out.
Oh, yeah, when it comes out. Yeah. That's because we were talking about it before. Yeah. Oh, no, good? Yeah. I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, very well. Enjoying me a bit of golfing at the minute, and then, yeah, start a proper job. Well, I'll say proper job in September at Bolton School, so very looking forward to that.
So you're half still playing a little bit, though, aren't you?
I'm half still playing at Ashton United, yeah, with my mate. He's the manager. I'm doing all the first-team coaching. Registered as a player, but I think personally I'll be playing about five or ten games if I can, but I'll keep myself fit, I'll keep myself trim and that, and then lockdown belly, always catch up with you.
I know you tell me about that. Don't you tell me at all.
So what are you doing at school?
Taking their under 15s, right? Bolton School under 15s. So we have a game every Saturday morning, and then I'll take training Wednesday and Thursday after school, obviously. And then hopefully with a view to carry on progressing it and see if I can take maybe the 11s and 12s maybe on like a Monday or Tuesday. I don't just want to be there for 3 days. I want to be there for, five days a week.
You keep your hand in football. You're not like when you're not caretaker or something when you said you got a job at school.
Imagine. Yeah, I brought keys with me. Hey, they've got a lovely setup there, by the way. Oh, they've got a lovely setup. Nice pool and that, which you're free to use, free gym.
Oh.
It's like David Lloyd's, but it's nice, to be fair.
Is it really just a
nice
public school?
Private school.
Right.
Yeah, private school, but they've got the massive on football, rugby and cricket. For me, that's great.
They're getting bigged up now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Ofsted are watching.
I get them up to outstanding. They're only at good at minutes. So when I get them, they'll be outstanding.
Would you like to go into coaching and all that then?
Yes, yeah. That's my next step. I've done all my badges. Well, I've done my B&A. Just need to do the pro license, but it's 10 grand. I'm sure you can help me out with that, Park, if you can.
Well, we're not fucking paying that much. we're going to pay you, but you said how much you wanted to come on, so you just fuck your fee up. You're
fucking barbell. Shit, yeah, I'll take that. Well, you 30 quid. I had 4 pints on me. That's all right, 30 quid.
No, but I've got your third biggest name to come out of West Horton.
After who?
Robert Shaw.
The fucking hell's Robert Shaw?
Oscar nominated, Jaws. Bloody Weatherspoons is named after him.
In West Horton?
Yeah, he's from West Horton.
The Robert Shaw Weatherspoons?
Yeah.
Never fucking knew that. I'm always like that when I walk in.
So Franny Lee. Apparently,
oh yeah, finally,
World Cup
was.
Winner. You've got to give him that one.
I'll give him that. I'll take second. Fuck Robert Short off.
Fucking jaws. Fucking shit. It's not even a real shark.
It's a plastic, shark.
Are you not? Oh, you're all rich, aren't you? Not Orton.
Yeah. I thought you were going to throw yourself in because I know it's got second most famous.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't FM friendly afterwards, so I added him in.
Oh, you're an Orich lad, are you?
Yeah.
Orich, yeah. So go on. What number are you in Orich?
Famous.
Number one, there's no fucking premier.
He's had that on fucking postman. Milkman's in at number three for his services to Orich.
They're still singing the song. We all want a team in a Keonts.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. When did I go? A couple of years ago, I went and I did the half-time draw and that, and they were, you know, under the scoreboard end. The what do you call them? The mad lot, I'd call them. The true diehards that are all under the scoreboard, you know, in that corner. And they were all singing Nicky Hunt's song, which is great for me, obviously. It's great. It's great to listen to, but, yeah.
Were you a Bolton fan?
Oh, yeah. I was at Burnham Park when I was a kid. My dad and my uncle used to go all the time in Great Lever End. We couldn't afford, Manny Road? What was the opposite Manny Road, where they all the posh people sat? I can't remember what stand it was.
Looking at you, really.
I know, yeah. I
couldn't afford them. Another Bolton fan.
Couldn't afford them seats. So we were Great Lever, green seats behind goal.
Must have been a proud moment when you sat down and you thought,
even as a
young lad.
Yeah, I mean, I was at Man U till I was at Man United from 10 till 15 or 10 till 14, 15 maybe, and then signed at Bolton under Martin Dobson. He's not, bless him, he's not here no more. But he signed me, and then graduated from there, and then signed my first professional contract at 17. Fantastic for me, that, great.
Who was in the first team when you?
When I was 17.
Doing your YT.
So when Kevin Nolan just broke through, he was like a year and a half. Was he? Well, he'll kill me for saying this. I don't even know how old he is. I'll say 2 years old. He'll probably come out and say he's about 8 months older than me. But it's, Kevin Nolan, he was there. He just broke through. And then we had like Per Franson, Michael Johansson, Jussi Askelainen, he was goalkeeper. Gudni Bergson was there, big Icelandic centre half. There's loads. Dean Oldsworth was there. Michael Ricketts was there. Like players that had done a lot in the game. Dino had been a member of the Crazy Gang, hadn't he?
Yeah.
But he had his slip back hair. I was always jealous of his slip back hair.
And
his headband as well. I was always jealous of his fucking headband.
Headband?
Always jealous. Oh, he had headband training.
It was slick, wasn't it?
Oh, slick, yeah. Slick. Like Brill Cream slick. Yeah.
Almost a bit creepy slick, though, at the same time.
What, a bit sleazy.
Yeah.
Like you on a blue car?
Yes.
Yeah, you left it running.
I ain't ever. He's not the owner either, it's his missus.
Okay, at least he's still there, pal.
Well,
isn't
we were bolting out with an eight.
Oh, fucking brilliant. Hell. That was brilliant.
Oh
my God, imagine that. Sorry, love, your car's been nicked. What's happened? Well,
nothing, yeah. Nothing, it was left door open as well. It just fucking went in and fucked up.
So the Asian, the established pros that were there already?
By the way, that is cutting, by the way, because if she watches that...
We're leaving that in.
Sorry, love, I left the car running. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, fucking
did they use you in them... Established pros, Oldsworth?
Yes and no. I mean, back then, now you can't get away with anything, can you? You know, like as a youth team player, you don't even clean boots and stuff like that. But we had to clean the toilets, clean the showers, clean the boots. But now you don't get away with any of that. But to be fair, Dino, Michael Ricketts, Gudni Bergson, Per Fran, Simon Charlton was there. Really, really good pros. And they guided you along, to be fair. So we didn't really get a tough time of it. But I can imagine maybe the... You know, 5 years predecessors to us would be, they would be literally in the shower, stuff thrown at them and stuff like that, heads down toilets and stuff like that, just as initiation and stuff. But it's all kind of
I don't think it's good how it is now. I think that were good.
Yeah.
Not putting somebody's head down.
No,
But that's a little bit too far. But all that sort of stuff, your jobs and all that, we speak about it all the time, don't we?
Yeah. I think you got off lightly.
Yeah, but
no initiations.
Just There were initiations, yeah. There were songs and stuff like that. There was stuff that you had to do. I'm not going to go into graphic detail and stuff, but there was, you know, that it was embarrassing for some people. If you weren't, you know, if you weren't, how do I word this? If you weren't at one with yourself, like, I'm not being getting naked or anything like that. I'm just mean being put in a situation where everyone's there. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And you're in you're 16, 17 year old. Yeah. And it's like, this is it. This is it for you, basically.
And how were you?
Oh, I was fine. Don't worry about me. I've got a great singing voice. I'm fucking done. Don't worry about that. I'm fucking fine. So, yeah, but, you know, a few of them sunk and it didn't bode well. It shouldn't have done, but it didn't bode well for them because they didn't earn the respect that... It took longer to earn the respect of the pros than it should have done, than it would have done if you just smashed it first off.
But yeah.
Not everyone can do that, no. Do you know what I mean?
I still can't do it now. I hate it now.
Really?
Pretty serious, yeah. Anything like that.
Just in front of
you. Under the spotlight.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, with it, you know, if you just go, they're not expecting you to be fucking Tom Jones.
Oh, no.
That's the stupid thing about it.
If you just go, right, and you just fucking give it your bollocks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't matter if you sound like fucking two fighting cats.
Exactly, yeah.
Just go and give it your bollocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll get more, honestly, you learn more respect doing that than not doing it at all. Like, I still, like, I'm Ashton United now, and there's still, even previously, in the couple of 2-3 years previous to this, there was lads that, you know, did initiations on away games coming back on team coaches that just refused to do it. And they'd say, oh, we'll pay 50 quid or pay 100 quid or 200 quid. And we're like, yeah.
It's not about that.
It's not about that. Yeah. On the way back from an away game, got a few beers on the coach and that. Everyone just wants to hear you make a tit of yourself, basically. Do you know what I mean? Even if you can't sing. Mm. But some lads are just, they're just still now to this day point blank refused.
Yeah. It's mad, though, isn't it? People would be willing to pay that much money just...
Yeah, just to not sit... Just 30 seconds of a song.
30 seconds song or 200 quid.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And they'll just take that. Yeah.
They'll do it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
It's mad, honestly. I don't know how they do
Unless I've got a drink. If I had a drink, maybe different, but... Fuck me.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Have a drink on a Friday night in an hotel.
I know, that's the worst, though. You just finish your pasta and you get the tap on the glass.
Tap on the glass. Ting, ting, ting. Oh, no. You know it's coming.
Like, I'm eating your pasta as well because you know it's coming, Matt.
You went a few nights out in Warrington, I believe.
Yes, fucking hell, yeah. When I the first ever one was in Warrington Town Centre when Mr. Smith's was there. I don't know if any of you know it. It's like a nightclub called Mr. Smith. So I think we were only 16, what was it, 17, 18? Must be 17, 18. So he gets out, goes into this Yates's bar, our Revolution bar, and like all lads are there. Chris Downey, me, Danny Flanagan, all Irish lads are there. Chris Williams, goalkeeper.
You all got your best gear and all.
Oh, well, like kickers to the max. Like, honestly, you know what I mean? Like proper, because we were only like 16, should
Ben Sherman.
Oh, Ben Sherman's were there. Yeah. Ben Sherman's were there. Levi jeans and then kickers on. But gets in this bar, Yates's and that, so... There's we're all dancing, getting on. We used to have Smirnoff Ice and Blue Wicked in a pint glass. Fuck knows what it's called, but it's lethal.
It sounds delightful.
Oh, it's loopy juice. Like you're just in a pint glass, you're just necking them because it tastes like pop until your teeth start falling out about 12 o'clock. That much fucking sugar in your mouth. But anyway, so we get to this Yates's bar, and there's this lady. I call her lady, and her daughter. They were out. And she gets on dance floor and the mum just starts taking her top off on dance floor. And we're 16, 17, 18, lads.
Oh, fucking hell. I bet there was some right
like just,
on
pints were down like that. I was just sat there like that. What's going on here? And then she brought her mate over. She took her top off. So just had bras on the dance floor, you know, knocking about. We're like, ah, fucking hell, get me another fucking Blue Wicked as well. I'm fucking staying here. So anyway, gets to the end of the night. And then a few of the lads, we all went back to the hotel. Now, a few of the lads came back late doors with this mum.
Mum?
Yeah, with the mum.
A friend?
With the mum. No, a friend weren't there.
Daughter, no.
No, I wish a daughter, yeah. I wish a mum. So he gets back in, and I believe from the stories that I got told, she was quite a wild one, and it led to certain things, and then she just left in the morning. And then about 5 days later, we got like an email to football club saying, call her Jackie. I don't know her name. Jackie's been in touch and said she had a fantastic night with the video lads. The lads were pretty, like, you know, a credit to Bolton Wanderers. a credit to Bolton Wanderers. You should be really proud of them. And they behave themselves like, you know, like on the, they're on the best behaviour all night. I can't thank you enough. And we're like, fucking yes!
I wasn't expecting that.
Oh my God.
She's got all sorts of performance stats.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Right back.
Nicky got a seven.
Yeah, keeper. Splattered in the ceiling. Worked great with his hands. Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, mate, honestly. That's like, a pleasure to have you. Pleasure to have them lads. That's in they were fantastic.
That's so something in my top five stories that we've ever had on.
Fantastic, yeah.
So,
fantastic.
I mean, the lads are like, well, like you said, like 16, 17, 18. Oh, yeah. So young lads and how old's Jackie?
Now or then?
Then. Because she's got a daughter with her.
She was a good 50-year-old then, don't worry about that, Jackie.
All right. Oh, so yeah, she's good 50-year-old. She's taking the lads under her wing.
Oh, well, yeah, I think she looked after them. Let's just say she looked after them.
What a hero.
Oh. What, Jackie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need more Jackies in this world, don't we?
Oh, I only she told the daughter, oh, I wrote a letter to the club. So I good the word. I well behaved. Oh, Jesus. That's sensational.
Brilliant. Oh, mate. It was like unheard of.
The youth team manager, like, give you all a pat on the back? Or?
Well, no. It was Chris Sully at the time. And I actually don't know what happened. I don't know what happened after that. I seriously don't know what happened. But we didn't get any disciplinary action or anything like that because it was an organised team night out. Do you know?
It was complimentary.
Exactly. You can't get him bothered for being fucking polite. I'm putting a couple of good performances in him.
All inclusive it was.
That's incredible.
Oh, Jackie. Oh. God bless you, Jackie.
God bless you, Jackie. God bless. I don't even know if that were your name, but God bless you.
Oh, I bet that was some fucking bus up Monday morning. Jesus Christ, turn that music down. I don't know everything that happened.
That's... So how long after you'd signed did Big Sam take over?
He was already there.
Right, so...
He must have signed in 90. I went watching the playoff final when they beat Preston 4-1.
Yep.
I went watching that and I think I was 17 then. And he was the one that gave me a pro contract, to be fair. Well, he gave Chris Sully the...
So do you remember, because you made your debut quite a lot before you got into the first team.
Yeah,
properly,
17 I made my debut. It was against Kevin Phillips, actually. Oh, no, I did it before that. I came on for Colin Hendry.
Yeah.
At the last game of the season at Sheffield United at the Reebok. That was the season when we went to beat Preston in the playoff final, that.
So you were 17 then?
Yeah. And then I think I played at 18 against Sunderland against Kevin Davies, and then I made my Premier League debut at 19.
So if you've gone to your Premier League debut, played against Giggs first half, Ronaldo second half.
It's not a bad debut, is it?
No, not at all.
It is when you lose 4-0.
And Giggs scored two, and Ronaldo won 3-0.
Yeah. No, but honestly, it's surreal. Like we went through the match day on the Friday, we did like the, you know, when he picks the team, Lemby 11. And I was just twiddling my thumbs because I'd done well pre-season. We'd been like to Austria or Portugal somewhere pre-season, done well in like three games. Started quite two, I think, out of the three. And I didn't think anything of it. I just thought, I'm buzzing to be around the first team. Got loads of players here, like loads of good players. Anthony Barnes was a right back. Just let Bernard Mendy go. And I was thinking, I never thought to myself that I might be the next in line sort of thing. So it gets to Friday, comes to the team shape and that, and I'm thinking, I'm happy just setting up in second 11. You know, when he names team and all rest.
I might be on bench.
Yeah, I might be on bench. Old Trafford and all that. So he's named team. He says, right, Yussi, Charlton, no, Yussi, Gardner, Laville, Ngoti, Hunt. So I've looked at Kev Nolan, he's gone, go on. So I've gone, fucking all right then. We're spinning it right back position. Then he named fucking like, we had a Kotcher, Franson, Nolan, Jorka, Davis, and I can't remember who it was on right wing. Anyway, so we did this 11-11 for about half an hour. Gets in, sign changing him. I just remember looking at Kev. He said, you're fucking on it, aren't you? You'll be on it tomorrow. I said, fucking hell, will I? I'll be
so Kev's on only
tomorrow.
2 years older than you, but he's been in the team.
He broke through the previous year.
Yeah.
I think he played like 20 games or something the previous year. And he was like the new prodigy. Yeah. You know, like, because he's... And I, little did I know, I was on that journey to be the next one after him, sort of thing. So yeah, we get to De Vere White's hotel on the Saturday, 12 o'clock. But the fans could come in for a drink. Like, it were that, like, mad.
Relaxed.
Yeah, it were. So fans were all having a bevy at the bar while we just had our pre-match and just sitting down. They were all coming over to us. Looking forward to today, lads, yeah. Obviously, they didn't know the team. They didn't know me, really.
Yeah.
They didn't know the team, speaking to all the lads that have been playing.
You think that helped you?
I think it...
You're probably more relaxed than if you just all sat in a room and all the experienced lads just sat normal. And
yeah.
And you're there like, oh my fucking God, what's going on?
Yeah, probably did actually. But they didn't necessarily came over to me. They shook everyone's hand and that and had a pint and that. But yeah, it probably did, to be fair, Park. It probably made me feel a bit more involved in the team than maybe I would have done if we'd have just been in like a room like this. Yeah, it wouldn't have been as formal, and it probably did chill me out.
It's still a massive thing, isn't it? Making your Premier League debut at Old Trafford. It's going to take a lot to ease them nerves, I imagine.
Well, yeah, fucking hell.
Knowing that you've got gigs to start off with.
Well, yeah. We went through the pre-match analysis at before we left the ground. It was like at 11 o'clock or half 11, and you put their team up, their predictive team, and you're thinking fucking Ferdinand, Giggs, Scholes, Keane. Who was on the right that day? Van Nistelrooy up top. And you're thinking, fucking hell. Right. But there's all this hype about Ronaldo. Like, he signed 4 days before or something like that, 3 days before. Like, this 18-year-old goofy kid, slick back hair, acne.
So, in a way, you're thinking, get him on.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Ronaldo over
at the time.
Yeah.
At the time, Giggs had I think he just scored about 25 goals a season before or something like that, and he was in his proper prime, do you know what I mean? But yeah, it's mad. People say like, oh, you must have been, yeah, I was nervous in that, but when that whistle goes, you'll know. When that whistle goes, and you'll know, you'll all know. You just...
You'll know.
You just focus everything out. Like, honestly, you just zone out. You just zone into your job, and... I don't know, people say, oh, Old Trafford must have been an electric atmosphere. It actually wasn't an electric atmosphere until he came on, Ronaldo. It weren't deathly silent, don't get me wrong, but it was 1-0. And they'd be expecting to batter Bolton, like, opening game of the season. They want to be 3-4-0 up first half, but they weren't. It was quite a close game sort of thing. We had a couple of chances, they'd had a couple of chances, scored a goal. And then 71 minutes, I think it was, and then it just erupted with this Ronaldo guy coming up.
This spotty little Portuguese bastard.
Yeah, and he was as skinny as me, but wow, he was fucking quicker than me.
I went far up with you. When I played against you, I went fucking far off.
Honestly, he was something else. Even in that little 20-minute glimpse, he had something that no one had seen for many, many years sort of thing.
What was Allardyce like before the game, were you?
He was fantastic, but he left pre-game to like Phil Brown or his first team coach, and do you know what I mean, or the other people in the dressing room. He spoke to me the day before. He said, look, just go out and enjoy yourself, you know, just use it as a, you know, stepping stone for your career, which was great, I thought, and it eased me. But he never pulled me to one side before the first game, because I think I don't know whether he knew that I would be like that, or it was strange. But Phil Brown, you know, took me to one side and said, just go out and enjoy yourself. Like, you're in the biggest stage now, just go out and enjoy yourself. And then Paul Durkin, the little ginger referee, he was the referee that day. And to be fair, it was in Old Trafford Tunnel. And that's daunting, because you can just see 70,000 people straight out. And he's come up, when we're lining up, he's come up, shook my hand and said, have a great game today. And I thought... What referee really? Does that? Yeah. What referee does that like anymore? Because he must have knew that he's my debut again, and he, you know, during the game, he'd give me the odd, you know, thumbs up and that.
Doing well.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
Jackie's husband. You were the lad looked after my sister Jackie Warrington.
Yeah, she was ginger. I think I remember she was ginger.
Ginger Jackie.
Well, it's changed now. Did you see that? Was it Kevin?
One of them fucking gone blew a kiss at ball or something, didn't
he? Who did? Oh, the refs.
Kevin Stroud, would it be?
Possibly, yeah.
Come out the tunnel. Obviously, the cameras are on him. He's gone.
Oh,
and then put the ball under his arm.
Yeah, no. We had, to be fair, we'll quickly go back to referees. We had, like, Uriah Rennie, like, didn't take no shit. Great referee. Paul Durkin, David Ellery, he was there, I think. And who was the, Mark Clattenburg, but they didn't take any shit from any. Do you know what I mean?
But you can have a bit of crack with them.
Of course you can, yeah. You can have a bit of banter with them, like, do you know what I mean?
Are you fucking winding me up? And they'll say, look, you're having a shitter.
Yeah, yeah. They'll give it you.
You fucking trapped you. Yeah. You're having a shitter.
Exactly.
And they'll give it
you.
Like that.
Yeah, they'll give it you back as much as you give it them. But now you can't do that. Obviously, with all the cameras, you can't say boo to a goose now.
How did you feel after that game at Old Trafford? Because, yeah, you've lost 4-0. You're Ronaldo and Giggs, but you're part of the team now, Premier League.
Yeah, you know, I went home and I thought, you know, I spoke to my dad on the phone. He said, look, you did really well. And I spoke to lads after the game and they were very complimentary. You know, for your first game, I know we lost 4-0, but it weren't, well, I don't think any goals were my fault, really. So you just pat yourself on the back and just go again. But the second game, Blackburn Rovers at home, I had an absolute beast at home at the Reebok Stadium. Absolute beast I had. I think I was going to get brought off after. We ended up drawing the game 2-2. I could have scored in the first half, but then I just wilted away in the second half. And then I think the third game, Portsmouth away, he dropped me. Because I was unproven at this level, and he must have thought, Blackburn at home, even though there's only 26,000 there, you're coming, I need to take you out of the limelight a little bit, sort of thing.
And how did you get on against Blackburn?
2-2 it was.
So your first three games of the season, you got the 4-0, drawn 2-2, done 4-0.
But I didn't play the third game. So
no, but it can't be foul game fucking potted. Jesus Christ.
I know, that's it. I think you probably went on, and I think the first 10 games, I think we lost 5, won 3 and drawn 2 or something like that. So it weren't the best start.
Yeah.
But we just used to get, with Sam, we used to get stronger and stronger and stronger the longer the season went, and we used to get stronger and stronger and stronger.
Did you like his mid-season trips back then?
Yeah, we had a fair few. We had a couple of Marbella ones, and we used to go to Dubai every February. Every February, like
training camp.
Training camp.
Just for anybody who's listening on audio, like, it's not a fucking training camp. It's far from a fucking training camp.
So we used to go there every international break in February. We used to go there, and we used to have some absolutely brilliant nights. We used to train either very early in the morning or really late at night, like 9 o'clock at night. Do you know when the heat was at its lowest, or we'd be literally training at 8 o'clock on the beach, like running or doing drills or doing football. But the hotel we stayed at used to have a little football pitch on the beach, which was class. Like the little square 6x4 nets.
Is that just so he can justify it to the board that we'll take him to buy, but there's a football pitch bang next to us?
That's exactly what he does.
Well, there was sand. It's just sand and a couple of old.
It doubles up the beach volleyball.
It just so happens it's right next to the pool bar, just there as well. Yeah, but no, that's what we did every February. And I remember one time went out, I think it was one of my first trips to Dubai. Jeff Smith, the postman, on about posties before, weren't we? Postman, he was the only one that I'd ever been to the club that got rejected from getting into a club because he had them Nike, where it had your big toe and then it had all the rest of your toes. With the Velcro over.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so he wore all them red ones out with some like tight jeans. He had the weirdest dress, he'll never forgive me saying this, the weirdest dress sense I've ever known in my fucking life, Jeff Smith. He was a postman, but he signed for Bolton. He was a good player. He had a wicked left foot. He went on played for Chesterfield. He had quite a good career, considering he'd come from non-league and come from, you know what I mean, being a postie. But he got to the club and the bouncer was like, nah, you ain't coming in. So he got a taxi.
The club?
Oh, the nightclub,
the
sorry.
The nightclub,
yeah,
right.
Sorry.
Oh, I thought you were coming into Griffin game. Sorry, yeah. Lad, you're not coming in there for fuck's sake.
Phil Brown was there. Nah, Jeff, fucking out in there. Fucking no way. No, the nightclub in Dubai. So we all were in there, and he'd gone back, and I think it took him about an hour. He got a taxi all the way. We stayed like not in downtown Dubai, like on the outskirts. So he got a taxi all the way back to change his shoes to come all the way back, and then he still couldn't get in with them shoes. He had another pair of trainers on. He had another pair of trainers. I wouldn't let him in, so he had to go back and get some proper brogues on, proper like you know granddad shoes on. To get in the fucking nightclub.
So he's been refused twice. To be fair play to him. I think after the first...
Double rejection.
Definitely after the second time, I'm thinking, fuck this. I'm getting in bed now.
I'm getting a kebab.
It's not worth it, this.
Yeah.
Every credit to him, Matt. What a great lad he was. What a great
Imagine
lad.
Him getting in the second time and going,
Right, lads, finish up. We're getting off. Minibuses out of sight.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sam and Phil Brown have a drink on the trips.
Sam and Phil Brown loved them trips because they did the training, and then it, for the rest of the day, the rest of the afternoon, it was just they did what they want. So they, Frankie Dettori was there one year, and he was we was supposed to be training in the evening and having a night out the night before we went back home. I think this was a Friday. We were going back on the Sunday. We were supposed to have a night out on the Saturday. So it was round the pool in Royal Meridian in Dubai. And there's a pool bar, isn't there?
Yeah.
So we was there, and Sam was talking to Frankie Dettori. And we were all just like chilling before, because we were training at like 8 o'clock at night. So we, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we were all just like having a bit of a sunbathe and that. And Frankie's, I think, who said something? It might have been Kevin Nolan said, "Frankie, come on, lad. Get into the gaffer. We want to go out. We want to go out tonight." So he's, Frankie Dettori said to Sam, "Hey, Sam, why you not let the boys go out tonight?" So we were like, "Come on, Frankie. Come 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 on, Frankie." And then Sam just gone, "Do you lot want to go out tonight?" And no one had said anything. So I think, I can't remember who perked it. It might have been like Per Frampton or something. He said, "Yeah, we do, gaffer." He's gone, "Well, fucking get out tonight then." We've all gone, straight into the pool bar. Cocktails, and then straight out that night. So I'll always thank Frankie Dettori for convincing Sam.
Fun time, Frankie.
Oh my God. For convincing him to let us out a night early. And then obviously we went out the night after as well. That was just nailed on that. He would never say anything like that. Oh, it was class. And then there's another little quick story. Steve Howie. Used to play for Newcastle centre half. We were going to Dubai, and we was in the old airport lounge. And Derek Niven, Scottish lad, just signed with us. We was all having free drinks and that, so we all had a couple of beers and that. And Derek, he said, Steve Howie said, "Derek, what do you want?" He said, "Oh, I'll just have a Coke." He went, "What? I'll just have a Coke. I don't drink." Steve Howie's gone, "Sit down." So Derek sat down next to him. He said, "You will never be a footballer if you don't have a fucking drink." So Derek's gone, "Well, what do you want me to have then?" And he's gone, "What the fuck is that with a JD and Coke?" So he had fucking JD and Coke. He had JD and Coke. He'd never drunk before. And he's like, he had a JD and Coke all that flight and all the trip. And then as soon as he got back, he was...
An alcoholic.
No, he wasn't an alcoholic. That's all he drank then. Every time he went out, JD and Coke. But he'd never drank before in his life. And Steve always said, "You will never be a footballer if you don't fucking drink."
And did he make it?
He what?
Did he have a good career?
Oh, yeah, I think he played about 100 league. He played for Chesterfield.
Next time they met each other, they were at Priory, bless them.
Stevie!
On next door. Stevie! Jamie and Coke, he was like a drink though, Stevie, bless
him. Oh,
because he was on that walk. We did a charity walk a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, really?
And we had 91 miles ahead of us, and I've just asked for some water. And it's as if I'd shit in his shoe. He went, what are you doing, son?
Honestly, he takes real offence to it. Yeah. He does, he takes real offence to it. Well, ever since that, he was only there about 6 months though, Steve. But what a guy. Honestly, an absolute diamond of a guy.
Steve Howie.
Oh, Steve Howie's a diamond of a guy, yeah.
Is that true about your Peugeot 306?
Peugeot 106, that. I had my first ever car, 17, Peugeot 106 Quicksilver, 1.4 injection. And I had, my cousin, still does it now, he still does all the sat navs and radio and speaker systems in cars and stuff. And I got him to fit me a PS1 in the glove compartment. So I had a PS1 in the glove compartment.
What, PlayStation?
PlayStation 1 in the glove compartment. And then I had a detachable TV screen right in the centre of my dashboard. with all the wires underneath, and then they had neon. I had four neon lights underneath my car.
Of course I did.
Purple.
Horrendous.
You loved it though, didn't you?
Oh my God. Down West Orton, round Weatherspoon. Like that, cruising, just sit outside, cruising.
Anyone want a game?
Throwing pad out the window. Pad on a lead, pad on a lead.
All smokers out front, just put their window down. Anyone fancy a game?
Who's your best player? You can be whatever team you want. Get in, send him in.
Honestly, it was class. Honestly, it was fucking genius. It was brilliant. Ali, every lunchtime at Exton, I used to go quickly down my lunch in the thing and then go and sit in my car and just fucking start playing people on my own. All fucking time, honestly. Fucking brilliant.
Has anybody seen this content? Yeah, a big car. It'll be about 70 minutes now. They're not even bothering just yet.
Honestly. Dream days, then, honestly.
What was Sam like then?
He was the best manager I've ever worked under, just purely because his man management skills were top draw. Like he was tactically very, very, very good, but I just thought he brought the best out of players. He knew how to get the best out of every single player he had. Like we had Dufy, we had a varied players and stuff, and you've just got to manage them, because Dufy, obviously, when he was at Liverpool and stuff, didn't really have the best of times, you know what I mean? And when he came to Bolton, he just knew how to manage him. Like, he knew he'd go out on a Wednesday or Thursday or even a Friday night before a game, but he knew when he turned up on a Saturday, he'd either create your two goals, assist your two goals, or score two goals, you know what I mean? He can be that type of player. He never really had an off game, no matter, but you've just got to take that. No other manager now would ever do that. No other manager, say, the player would just be gone. He'd be transferred straight away. Sam had a knack of bringing out the best in every player we had.
So we spoke about Warnock, though. I think Warnock's a bit like that, you know, with Turat and stuff and other players of the similar.
Would he let you go out on a Friday night?
What could you do? You can't, unless you're physically at his front door saying, Elad, you're not fucking coming out tonight. You're not going to Bolton tonight. You're going to Manchester Panacea tonight. You can't do anything as a manager unless you literally stood outside his gates or stood outside his door. Because you've just got to let him do what he's doing. And if he does have a shocker on a Saturday, then you disappoint him.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, why? Like, if he's...
I agree.
Do you know what
I
mean?
I just think, in Premier League, you can't... You're letting one of your star players do what he wants.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe he had a few conversations during the season just saying, look, you know, if you do get... seen out on, because he had spies everywhere. He had not spies, but he had people that knew him that would be out in Bolton, that'd be out in Manchester, that'd be out in Wigan. Just say, look, if you see anyone out on a Thursday or a Friday night, just let me know. And I'm sure Dufy had been disciplined many times for that. Do you know what I mean? But on the times that he didn't, he was brilliant for us. Honestly, he was
quite like that. Just let your player do what he needs to do to be right on a Saturday.
Yeah.
But it only comes a problem if he starts having a shitter.
That's the thing. But then he'd discipline him, then he'd fine him 2 weeks' wages and won't play him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
it's more the other lads, isn't it? The other lads are like, fuck me.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're busting his balls. We're doing everything right.
Yeah.
And that fucker's in Panacea Friday night.
Yeah. But if he heard that he was in Panacea on Friday, he won't play on a Saturday. Do you know what I mean? If he heard he was in wherever on a Thursday, he won't play on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Would that affect the other lads? He gets away with fucking murder.
But if he wins them the game,
it
was a toss-up, weren't it? You either hold a grudge, accept it or hold a grudge. It's simple as that. Do you know what I mean? It's not. There's no mid ground with that.
We all do respect as well. You're Bolton, right? And you need your best players, don't you? You know what I mean? If it happened at Manchester City now, I don't think it would. But they've got other players to come in. I don't imagine at Bolton at that time you had another El Hadji Diouf.
No. We had no one to bring in. He was the main focus. He was the first team on the first name on the team sheet, basically, because what he could do in a game. And
were you his wingman?
With what?
Were you his wingman? Would you go?
No,
out with him,
no. Dufy was too wild for me. He was, and he admitted himself. He'd go out to retreat on a Sunday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and just stay there and then end up in Manchester till 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you know what I mean? He was that type of guy. He'd be getting a bottle of champagne and having a glass and then giving everyone else a glass and then get another bottle. So he'd be having like a glass every... He's not stupid, do you know what I mean? He'd be having a glass every...
You know what I mean? If I go out to one o'clock...
Fucking expensive glass of champagne.
Oh, yeah, it's expensive, but he's not stupid, yeah.
If I go out at 1 o'clock, by 7 o'clock, I can't fucking speak.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no, he's not like that. He could pay... He could
so it were more... He just wanted to be out and about.
Yes.
And
he wanted to be
socialising.
He couldn't stay in.
Yeah.
It was... But, you know, some lads are sociable and some lads aren't, do you know what I mean? Some lads are proper family guys, and which is great, do you know what I mean? But some lads are just... Not that he weren't a family guy. Of course, he was a family guy. But when he wanted to go out, he'd go out.
Mm. Who was in your battalion then? What was your
There was me, the Brit Pack, really. Me, Kevin Davies, Kevin Olam.
The Brit Pack?
The Brit Pack. We used to call ourselves the Brit Pack. Gary Megson, we'll talk about Mr. Megson shortly. But he used to have a F Troop, used to be called F Troop. So there was all the English lads, basically. So it was me. Even the members of staff used to come out with us sometimes on away trip, not on away trips, on pre-season tours or nights out that we'd organise in Manchester or London or wherever. They all used to come out with us, all the English staff, because we just wanted to create a massive, you know, we didn't want to divide, basically. So we wanted to create a big family, a family club, even though Sam had gone. Do you know what I mean? And Gary had come in and Sammy Lee had gone. We still wanted to create that family vibe, and I thought it worked really, really well.
That's a good idea to get togetherness, isn't it? Go out, get out with the English lads and leave the foreigners.
Yeah. Totally. A lot of the foreigners didn't want to come out, you see. A lot of them didn't want to, they just wanted to do their own thing and they'd go to bed after evening meal. But obviously, us Brits, we just fucking love boozing, don't we? You know? So we just wanted to go out all the time, so we did, you know.
Did you always like going out from the start?
Yeah,
did
I think work hard, play hard, do you know what I mean?
Tuesday, like, Wednesday?
Oh, no, the odd Tuesday, yeah, but for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it'd be a no-go, especially for me, especially, but...
Millhouse on a Tuesday.
Millhouse on a Tuesday, yeah.
You used to work behind the bar.
Did you?
Yeah, you're in every Tuesday.
You were lying, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, and I bet I didn't fucking pay for it.
You didn't fucking tip at all, that.
Yeah, so Millhouse. Did you want to choose it? Well, not again. Well, I worked in Millhouse and you were there every fucking Tuesday. That failed.
Hey, what a place that was.
It was, yeah.
Fucking brilliant. Jesus Christ.
You've not lost your knack, have you? You lined that up well.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
You lined that up well.
Yeah, you did.
But it must have been mad, you know... Because obviously you were there in the promotion season.
Yeah.
Bolton lad, you're in the team and everything, and then all these big hitters start coming in. You know, your Jock Abs, World Cup winners, Acocha, your Campo, your Euros, and you know that. But you're at your local club, and now you've got these international world stars around you. Was Sam treating everyone the same? Or
yeah, massively was treating everyone the same. He didn't. You know. Create an atmosphere where you thought, fucking hell, I can't sit next to him. Do you know what I mean? Because I think sometimes now when say Messi goes to PSG, right? There'll be certain players in the PSG dressing room that will think, fucking hell, can I go over and talk to him? Do you know what I mean? There'll be an awe of him. Do you know what I mean? Whereas Sam didn't really create that with us. Obviously, I was in awe of Jorge, of Acocha, Campo, yeah, of course I was. But he brought everyone together, meal time, breakfast. Everyone had to come in for breakfast, so you all sat together. Do you know what I mean? It was I keep going back to the family. It was a proper group, you know, family. Whereas now, maybe, I don't know, but maybe you don't get that as much because...
Fucking, I'd forgotten Elka.
Yeah, what was Elka, he like? Yeah.
Oh, and Elka, he was top man.
Who was the toppest man out of them big hitters who you could felt like you could just have a talk with?
Yeah, he was the most down-to-earth guy.
Spanish general?
Yeah, Real Madrid, yeah. You'd probably ever meet in your life.
You'd be able to get him on for us, or...?
Oh, yeah, come on, yeah. I'll get Camp on FaceTime if you want.
He was probably the biggest hitter out of a lot of them as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he'd done everything. Like, he won the World Cup with Spain, I think, European Championships, La Liga. His career was just like unprecedented. And for Sam to get him... But
I was about to ask that question. How, and again, total respect to Bolton, how did Bolton get them players? Really?
You know, the biggest one, I think, was Sam used to fly over to meet them personally, wherever they were. So I think we signed a coach from PSG. So I think he went over to France, to Paris, and met him personally. Did the same with York AF. Did the same with Hierro. Did the same with Campo. Same with Stelios. Same with Anelka. He used to just fly over and say, I'm eating.
Like, make him feel
3 days away from
Yeah, that's fucking mad, man. Thursday's on Monday. That's what he used to do. Long weekend.
So, I'm not going to be in there. I'm not going to be in for the next 4 days. I'm going to go to Madrid to speak to someone. Just fucking sat there tanked up.
Of course it is. But I think as a player, the more personal it is with you and the manager or you and the chairman, the more you want to go to that club.
So you think that
I think that was a major...
Make him feel wanted.
Yeah, I think so, because how else...
They weren't all...
Who else is going to fucking come to Bolton?
Well...
Do you know what I mean? No offence to Bolton.
I've come today and I don't fucking like it. But I mean, like, them, they're not fucking 34, 36, done, are they? They're like, they've still got a lot of the career to go.
Honestly, it was bizarre. Like, we used to find out in the papers, us... We used to find out in the papers that there was a rumour, and then literally the next day the player would turn up.
I've just seen JJ Cotter. Yeah, honestly, what's going on here?
What's that second player with his bones?
Oh, John Shaw?
I've just seen fucking Okotcher in John Shaw. What is going on down there? No, it can't be. I'm telling you, he's playing Saturday.
I'm telling you.
He's playing Saturday.
I'm telling you. Dan, get him on in Okotcher first goal. He's playing Saturday.
That's how it was, seriously. They just turn up, like, and you think, fuck me, honestly, it'd be madness, honestly.
And what were the, like, disparity in wages then between... Say Kev, who were probably one of the most important players in Bolton team at that time.
Yeah.
To a Kotcher or an Elka or Joe Kev. I don't go into figures.
No,
but...
numbers, but yeah, there was, but I think there was in every team in the era that I was playing Premier League from 2003 to 2010. There was a gap. There was a big, big gap. You had your top players on X amount, and then you had a group that which were on X amount, and then you had a group which were on the lowest amount, sort of thing. And it was just how important you were to the squad, and that's how you got paid.
Sam had built that atmosphere where you weren't that bothered.
We weren't, because we never talked about money once. Like, not once did anyone ever talk about. We didn't have the players that were like massive time and always like talked about money and came in loads of flash cars and all that malarkey. We didn't have that type of squad. You know, I loved my cars and that in my day, but, and JJ did, he had about 6 Ferraris, but.
Juicy as well, surely.
And Juicy, yeah, and McLaren's in the car.
Six now.
But we weren't, trust me, we weren't. That we were.
I bet you've had a PlayStation 2 in it. Not a PS1.
And he had a 306, not 106. But yeah, it is what it is, you know. Okotcher had his career, Djorkaeff had his career, and Anelka had his career, and they could buy what they wanted. So they drove what they wanted, and you know what I mean? We never thought, fuck, look at that big time bastard there coming in. That. We never once thought that, and I just thought the whole atmosphere for them 6-7 years was top draw.
What's Stig Tofting like?
Stig Tofting, what a guy.
Is that what you always bring up, that?
Yeah.
He was an animal.
Absolute nutter.
Animal. He had an apartment in Eagley Mills, right? Eagley Mills is a big apartment block in Bolton. And he used to have parties there quite often because he's Danish and he would just... He'd been in jail and all that, I think, Stig Tofting.
Covered in tattoos.
His dad
killed his mum in front of him.
I think
and
so,
And then killed
yeah.
himself.
Yeah, I think so.
And he joined Hell's Angels and
yes,
stuff
he
really
did,
young.
Yeah, a big biker gang. Yeah, he joined them. So he was mental. Like, he used to have these parties at his house. I think I went to one. And it was just like, he had a penthouse apartment in Eagley Mills. And it was just like, there was people there that, it was like a fancy dress party. Like, there was people there, long hair, short hair, tall, small, different races, different, you know, ethnicities and stuff like that. It was just like, you're just walking into something from a movie. Do you know what I mean? Like a movie set or something like that. You had Josephine Sceptical, the Dreamcoat there. You had a footballer there. You had another footballer there. You had... Share there, Shania Twain. Do you know what I mean? Like, honestly, you looked at him and you just, they were like,
What's he play at Bolton Arena?
Honestly, it was mad. It's, the parties he had were mental. Like, mental.
Where did he pick all these?
I don't know where he'd gone from. He either knew him from Denmark and flew him over, or they were friends of his that he made here, but they were like, not hippies, but they were like, honestly, It was mental.
Strange characters.
Strange characters knocking about. You wait for the toilet and someone come out and you think, where the fuck have you come from? You know what I mean? Like, how does Sting know you? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, that's what you think and you think, okay, no. But honestly, I think...
How does Sting know
you? Yeah, seriously, like... But he was a mental case.
Did you see much fighting in that squad?
Yes. Yeah, there was a couple. There was one really early doors, which was Bernard Mendy and Akin Bulent. Bernard Mendy, French right-back international. Akin Bulent, Turkish international. Don't know what had gone on, but I was only about 16, 17, and I think we just finished training, and the first team was still training. So we were like getting ready to get all the boots in and that, and it was right at the end of the session, and we was in like the it was all port cabins at the time. So on the field, we seen something going on, people like pushing each other, and then it just got broke up, and then everyone went the way it came in, and then these two just went smash, punches, grabbing heads, headbutting, literally like one of the worst fights I've seen, like blood everywhere, like. Everyone dragging them off and that. And then everyone dragged them off. And then Sam gets them into the office. He sits them both down. He says, what's your problem, you two? So he's speaking in French, Mendy. I can be able to speak in Turkish. I
think can we get a translator over here?
Phil! I need you, Phil.
So in the end, I think he just said, right, you two, end of story. Fucking get out there. Have it out and we'll fucking end the story. So they went back out, had it out on training ground and then left it. And we were all like 16, 17 and we were thinking, blood everywhere. And we're thinking, do we really want to get in the fucking first team? This is what's fucking going to go on.
Fucking hell, just have it out.
Have it out.
Because we've heard boxing gloves.
Oh yeah. No, he
sorted
said,
out. This
he
is
said,
just
he said, fucking get outside. Street he said, rules. Have it out, do what you want and end off. And that, to be fair to him, they battered each other. And end off, after that, shook each other's hand, high-fiving each other. Honestly, I think Mendy beat, but Bulent, he looked like a psychopath, like Turkish psychopath, you know, like he owned a shop, like, you know what I mean, and said, if you fucking spilt chilli sauce on his fucking counter, you fucking get a fucking whack round. One of them fucking psychos. One of them people. So, honestly, mate, fucking not right in the head. Seriously, not right. But honestly, after it, shook hands, shower, off. Never heard a fucking peep out of them again.
Did you stick around for the second turn?
Second round,
Return leg. I was hoping for a fucking return leg, but the fucking weren't one coming. Fucking. I think Bulent got transferred about a month after, and Mendy went at the end of the season. Never see anything like that again.
I don't think I've ever. I
mean,
that's the first time I've ever heard the manager go, right, fuck it,
won't suit it out. Yeah, but that was the only way. That was the only way. To be fair, it was the only way to deal with it because they were still like, you know, like riled in the chair, like, just go out and do it and then go home. And then if I ever hear anything, if that ever happens again, you're both fucking off. Basically, you're both out of the club.
That's fucking that's sensational. Isn't it?
It is, isn't it? That's one of the best. It's one of the best ways to do it, isn't it, really?
Did Gary Speed have a go with, is it mate?
Oh, Gary Speed, mate, what a guy he is, Gary Speed. We was in Partizan Belgrade away in the UEFA Cup. It was the night before, and me and my best mate, Gary Megson, had just gone to do the interview for the night before with all the press and stuff. So we walked back and then we got onto training. Like, they'd already started training. And literally just after the warm-up, we were in like possession or something like that. And we walked down, me and Gary Megson, and just seeing Gary Speed and Abdullah Meity. Fifth. And we're like, whoa, what's going on? So anyway, at the end of the day, like maybe he had a bit of beef with Abdullah Meity about something about, I don't know, about his playing style or something like that. So he must have passed him a ball or something and said something to him, like miscontrolled and said, fucking hell. So Abby just flipped and just like gone for Speedo. Speedo's gone for him. And it's just been like, not blood, but just like chaos, like punching. Night before, played Partizan Belgrade and Gavin McCann scored the winner. Yeah. We won 1-0. Gavin McCann scored the winner. It was the night before.
Did they both play?
Yeah, they both played.
just both got bandages on. Fucking like look like fucking Mark Wright, but just before the game started, bandage on, claret down your wife.
Honestly, madness. So we'd literally just come back from the interview and they were just at it and we're thinking. Gary Megson looked at his watch, he said, it's only fucking 8:30. What the fuck's going on here? Honestly, like, but Gary Speed was, honestly, he's one of the best pros that I've ever played with.
Yeah. What age will have been here?
Gary Speed all signed for us when he was 34, I think it was. So he must have been about 35. Was he 35?
Abdul-Mate. Still ran the show, didn't he?
Oh, he was pristine. Incredible. He was fit. He could run all day. He was strong. He just didn't have the pace. And, do you know what I mean? But you didn't need it. The way we played with a three, you just needed to graft. Mm. And he unbelievable set pieces, for and against, do you know what I mean? He could whip a ball in, he could get on the end of a cross. He was a fantastic pro to play with. He was up there with the Aero, to be fair. He was up there with like a genuine pro, genuine guy.
Before Sam left and Megson coming in, I heard rumours, did you? But the Liverpool in fear.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think Sam brought me into his office. It was afternoon or morning. He said, there's been an inquiry about you. And I was like, right. He'd never told me the club. He just said, there's been an inquiry about you, but we've dismissed it because we want you here. And I was like, right. And then I found out two, three years later that it was Liverpool that made the inquiry. But I know why, because I scored against him in my debut season. Yeah. And every time we played like four, obviously playing four times in 2 years. And I had probably my best games against him, up against Bellamy, Kewell. Who else was there? Bellamy, Kewell. I can't remember. They had like three or four wingers that used to swap sides and stuff. And I used to have like some of my best games against them. And I think Rafa Benitez was the manager at the time. And apparently they made an inquiry and just to see how much I was worth or see how much they wanted for me. And he said, whatever you hear, don't take it on because it's not happening. So you're here. And so I was buzzing with that. I was buzzing that he wanted me. I was buzzing that I was going
to stay. So that was a positive in itself. Just you being told,
yeah,
listen, whoever's coming in, it's not happening. Yeah. You're here and you're...
Yeah.
But do you not think, you know, like if they would have made a bid, it would been your team that you supported and all that, would you think you'd have been like, no, fucking hell, it's Liverpool?
I think everyone would have been, do you know what I mean? But I don't know, because I was probably only 19, 20 then, and maybe for my career, it might not have been the best bet to go to Liverpool at 20.
Yeah.
I know it sounds crazy, that sounds mental, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was the best thing that I did, staying at Bolton for 9 years, what I did, because, you know, I might have just gone down by the way. It sounds stupid, but I might have gone down by the way. So if I signed for Liverpool, massive club, you know, 45,000 every week, 50,000 every week, and there's a massive, massive amount of pressure. Not saying there wasn't any pressure for Bolton, but if I'd have signed for Liverpool, there would have been tenfold. Yes.
Yeah.
It could have been tenfold pressure, and I could have just gone down by the wayside after 2 years gone.
So Sam leaves, obviously. Gary Megson comes in.
Did Sam get sacked or did he leave?
He left for Newcastle, didn't he?
Right. Yeah. I think there's a bit of politics going on upstairs in the boardroom, and then he went to Newcastle, didn't he?
Is there a big change, a big shift? Because, I mean, what were it like? Because I remember when Megson's first game and Gary Megson, you're a wanker from Bolton fans.
Really?
Well, there was a massive, like...
Is that because it was Sam?
Sam had, sixth position, I think, highest?
Fifth, I think. Seventh and eighth, I think we finished in four
seasons.
You
were for Cup, I think. The fans expected after Sam, though, they might bring somebody a bit bigger than Gary Megson in.
Mm.
Probably rightly so as well, I think.
Yeah.
Because was it West Brom's job previous?
Yeah, yeah. Didn't really well, he kept going up and down with West Brom. He kept getting promoted, then staying in Premier League, then getting relegated, and then he'd leave and they'd come back. Do you know what I mean? He was renowned for relegation and escaping relegation, keeping teams up or getting them promoted. And when you're established in the Premier League after 5-6 years... That's not really the appointment that everyone was looking for, really.
Do you know, if you think back, were the fans getting onto them about this style of player, even though you were doing so well?
Probably, yeah, probably. But we had Kevin Davies, like, he was our stalwart. He was like, you know, he'd scored like 10, 15 goals every season that he'd been there, like every 2, 3, 4 seasons.
So you had to play that way? Yeah.
Until we brought an Elker in and then Kevin Davies went on the right, that was your mainstay. Obviously, you could go in behind then because he'd run in behind an Elker. You could play the killer passes in behind. But before that, But it was effective. Like, we'd bully teams at the Reebok. We'd bully Arsenal. We'd bully Chelsea. We'd bully anyone at home. And even away, we'd our style of football, they weren't used to it. Like, you know, they used to be trying to pass people off the park. We'd press them from the front. And it'd be a completely different game for everyone when we came into town.
A bit like Stoke were under Pulis.
Yeah.
So when Sam's gone to Newcastle, you're thinking, there's a chance he's going to come in for me here. Or did he speak to you about that?
No, no, I think, I'm not saying everyone thought that, but, you know.
Whole squad.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? But Newcastle, massive club, they're getting 60,000 people in every week, and you're thinking, who's he going to take, basically? Yeah. You know, who's he going to come in for, who's he going to take? But I think there was a thing in his contract where it was either 12 months or 18 months, he couldn't take a player, and he didn't. Do you know what I mean? Because we played Newcastle on the opening day of the season after he left.
Yeah.
When Sammy Lee was managing, we got battered 3-1. Obafemi Martin scored 2, scored an overhead kick at the bar and went in. And it was just like a bit of a downhill slope from there. And then Megson came in like the October, I think it was.
Yeah.
And he was, obviously, he was not the fans' favourite, obviously. But he had a job to do. And to be fair to him, he wanted players in that he wanted players in. So, but I'd just signed a new 4-year deal. I'd just literally just signed a 4-year deal in that August. And he bought Greg Steinson in the November or something like that. And I was thinking, you just brought a right back in my... So I played like the first 3 or 4 games under him. And then he dropped me for Steinson. But he brought him in. So I was like, look, I'll fight for my place and stuff like that. But I was registered for every European game where Steinson wasn't. So it was mad for me because I played every... Was it the first season? It might have been the second season after. I was still registered and Steinson wasn't. So I played every... I never played a Premier League game, I think. I think I was on the bench for every Premier League game. But I played every European game, every UEFA Cup game. And we got to quarters, got beat by Sporting Lisbon away, got beat 1-0. But I played every single game and it was like... So I had to keep myself fit because I weren't playing Premier League football. So I had to play resis, keep myself fit, do my extra training stuff just to be ready for these European games.
For the European Cup game?
Yeah, for the UEFA Cup ones. And it was... But we beat Atletico Madrid home and away. It was like... That season was madness because we had loads of group games, fine. And then we played Atletico Madrid. Aguero got sent off at Reebok for telling linesmen to fuck off in Spanish or something like that. And then we went to their place, drew 0-0, went through. So we drew 0-0 at home to Sporting Lisbon. It might have been 0 at home to Sporting Lisbon, then lost 1-0 away, and then we went out. But that was our biggest chance.
Must have been gutted that referee had done a BTEC in Spanish.
Yeah, he's got a coach after him, thought, how the fuck does that German referee know that I've just told him to fuck off in Argentinian? How the fuck? Straight away, though, when he fetches Greta Steinson, and you're thinking, he's a fucking prick, this, isn't he?
Of course you do, you know, as a player, of course you do. If anyone's like yourself, if someone brought a striker in and you were played every... I must have played 75%, 8% of the games in the previous 3 or 4 seasons. So it's not like I was a bit part player or anything like that. Mm. So you're thinking to yourself, and I just signed a new deal, which I was, you know, loved it, my hometown club and stuff like that. And then you get to a point where he's bringing another right back and you're thinking, one, what have I done? He's not even seen me play and he's brought, do you know what I mean? He's seen me play 2 games or something. But yeah, that's just football. It happens all the time, I think.
Did he completely fuck you off in terms
Yeah, completely. Like, I was just on the bench, never really came on the bench.
Right back's a position, if you're playing right back, you don't really come on, do you?
No, you don't really come off, do you? Your full back's
not really. Like, it's not like your right winger, your left winger, or your strikers.
Fresh legs.
If you're having a bad game, you can deal with it. If you're having a good game, great. Do you know what I mean? You're assisting goals or scoring them, do you know what I mean? But yeah, it was tough for me that, because I'd just gone from playing the majority of games to just being sat on a bench, and I didn't like that at all.
Because we've heard it before with Megson, where, you know, we've seen you're still involved, you're still on the bench. We've heard stories about him just completely fucking these lads off.
Oh yeah, that happened just before he got the sack. So I was training with the reserves permanently. Me, Danny Shittu, Mustafa Riga. There's about 5 or 6 of us just permanently training with the reserves with Alan Cork. He was a great coach, Corky. Just used to train with them every day, never used to train with the first team. And that was just before he got the sack.
He just wanted you out.
Yeah, just basically. But we had like 2-3, and we're not talking about money here, we're talking about we had 2-3 year deals, but we wanted to, we knew how valuable we were to the club. Like, we knew we weren't shit players. We knew we weren't just like there for squad players. We knew we wanted to get in that first team and knock people out of their positions. It wasn't like we were just sat there picking up the money. I left Bolton when I had a year left on my deal. I could have just weighed it out for another year, but I didn't. So I just wanted to go and play football.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.